but all to the glory of the Lord and for different family matters. So it's nice to be here again and talking with you about the last, or not the last, but the next to last part of my sermon series on discipleship. Are we good to go? All right. I want to kind of review today about the sermon series that I've been talking about, discipleship. The whole goal of this is about relationships, right? And so I'll do a little review and then we'll go into the next part of this series about sharing the good news. But I want to ask you first, think about this. When you hear somebody talking about good places to eat or something that's going on in their life and you have some input to share, do you ever jump into that conversation? I would guess that you normally will. Especially if you know somewhere good in a certain area that maybe they don't know about, you will give your input on a certain Mexican restaurant or Italian restaurant, something that you think they might enjoy. However, I find it that more people struggle to give the good news of the faith and jump in and share what can help people out when they're struggling in life itself. But before I do that, remember that this series is about relationships and about building on top of what God is already giving you to follow Him. And so the first part of my, I'm going to briefly go over my sermon series. But in Matthew 28:16-20, it says, "The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some were doubtful. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority had been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" You see, I use this reference. And then I heard Dr. Stokes just a few weeks later talk about this passage and how many people or many universities will use this as the commission, the Great Commission. But yet he said, and I say, that this isn't about the Great Commission in different parts of the world. This is even about here in our cities and near our homes and in our lives. We're to go and make disciples no matter where we're at. Speaking of the good news, but we have to remember, it takes relationship, getting to know the people and knowing what they're going through, for us to talk in such a manner that doesn't push them away from God, but brings them closer to Him. And so if you're just going out and preaching when you don't have the relationship, you don't know how to present it. I was also looking at many things, and what follows in the Gospels is this great commission. This commission to you. Did you decide to follow Jesus? Or did He choose you? We talked about that in my next part of the sermon series, in Mark 16:14-16, where it says, "Afterward, He appeared to the 11 themselves, as they were reclining at the table. He reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned.'" Interesting that we just read another passage of Scripture today where Jesus walked with them, but He didn't give them eyes to see. Can you imagine walking with the Master and He's not opening your eyes until later? He does that even in passages of Scripture where it says He didn't give them eyes to see until later. Maybe your neighbor, maybe your coworker doesn't have eyes to see yet, but they're seeing Him through you. How are you presenting Him? Are you showing Him the hope that you have? Do you have peace in the trials that you go through? That's the question that I have for you today. You know, in this passage also, I taught in that part of my sermon series that we're not in charge of other people and God's willingness to open their hearts and their minds. What we're just to do is be obedient, and we're in the game. We're part of the team that He put together. And so all we can do is be in that game. Just like in baseball or football or soccer, if the coach says, "Hey, get up here, Cooper, you're going in." Do you get excited? Yeah. I get excited whenever God says, "Hey, it's your time, you're going in." Maybe I get to score a goal. Maybe I get to defend a little bit. Maybe I just need to be obedient to His word. And at the same time, if we're obedient, maybe we'll get to glean some of what He has placed before us. Interesting enough that as I was researching and putting this final verse, or this one together today, Ezekiel 3 came to mind. And it says, "When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from what wicked way, so that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked man and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself." It goes on to say, if a brother or sister or a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and commits an iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him or her, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he had done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered him. You see, that shows me that part of this game is also having that relationship and being able to warn others, because there is that love and that peace that comes from Christ whenever trials come, and they can see that in the way I live out my life. They can see if I put that faith into action, if I talk to them a little bit. And it's not about the wickedness, it's about just having relationship and telling them that's not the way that the Bible points it out. It's getting harder for many people to step out in faith. But there's a lot of steps that we can step out in, because it's getting clear where the wickedness is coming from in the world today. Right? We warn you about things going on in the schools. We see it clearly going on whenever things are happening in our cities. And so we have to have relationship, and we have to be willing to step out in faith and share that good news that He has for everybody. And we have to be willing to live it out according to His scripture. If we have that peace, it's not because we find calmness, it's because He has given us the peace within. And so in that same way, Ezekiel pointing that out, I heard Dr. J. Vernon McGee this week, he points out that it's not so much about what we're going to be accountable for, because it is, but at the same time, it's about earning those rewards. How many of you, if I said, "I'll give you $100,000 to bring some people to church and share your faith with them," you would start going out and talking to more and more people? Pay off those school debts that you're about to incur, right? You would be willing to do that. But let me tell you what. You're going to get better treasures in heaven if you store it up there than that $100,000. I know, because I'm still paying it off, people. I'm still paying off my college debts. You want to talk about college debt? Come talk to me. Talk to Kara. She's working with me on that, right? So, but the Lord has provided all these years. And so we put, by creating those relationships and showing people how our faith is put into practice, and being the light of the world, we can store up those treasures in heaven. And we can take that wicked person and we can... Can we transform them, or can God? God transforms them. He may use us as that good baseball player that's in the game. He may use us at as a quarterback that's playing football, he will use us if we say yes to him. All right. And then I went into Luke. You see, this commission is in every book of the Gospels. Luke 24:44-48. It says something different a little bit in each one, but it's still a mandated piece that we have to follow. And he says, "These are my words which I spoke to you. I was still with you. That all things which are written about me in the Torah of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Who opened their minds? Christ himself. Can you open the minds of other people? No. But can you pray for them? Yes. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise again from the dead, and the third day that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You didn't see it with your eyes, but you know it in your heart. You know it by looking at the testimonies of people that are testifying. I can tell you this. How many of you have seen miracles over the past year? I have seen. I know. I can testify that God is still active. He is still living today. I haven't seen Jesus with my own eyes, but I know that he came and he died for me because I've experienced him in my life at times. And he brings us the peace from within. I was just talking with somebody the other day. You talk about miracles. I can tell you right now, Anna's mom is a miracle, and everything that we had going on this past year, that is a miracle of God in what happened in their life this year. There's another miracle. I was sitting with a woman. I know you all Southern Baptists, but sometimes Pentecostals got it going on too. This past week, I was sitting around. I was talking with a lady, my brother-in-law's aunt. And she was telling us how she was having hard of hearing. How many of you know some people have hard of hearing? Yeah, me. I know. Right? She was saying how her kids were telling her over the past few years, "Hey, Mom, you're struggling with your hearing." Well, again, she finally heard them. She'd been hearing them. It'd been going in one ear and out the other, right? Well, about 6 months before, she said, "I know I need to get hearing aids." And they were like, "Yeah, we've been telling you that for 2 years. Well, she was about ready to go. She said, "But first I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to go to one of those healing crusades, and I'm going to give it to him." What's the scripture say? Whenever the lady with the bleeding for 20 years or so was going on, Jesus turns. He knew that the healing had went out, but he said it was by her faith. Right? Well, the lady I was sitting with said, "I was always doubtful, but I went to one of those crusades, and I knew that Jesus could heal me. I knew that God would do a miracle if I just took that faith, that little bit of faith, and walked up that night." She said, "It was really weird because I was still kind of skeptical about them, but I knew God could do it." And so when she went up there, she said, "The next thing I knew, yes, I was laying down, but the next thing I knew, I was back awake, and I could hear things from the other side of the sanctuary." For me, as a Southern Baptist pastor, I'd always been a little bit skeptical and wanted to talk to somebody that had experienced that. You think God didn't put her in my path at that time where I, and that story came up and she shared it? We have to be willing to share those small little things, right? And so we are able to be in the game if we're just willing to share at certain times with people. It's about relationships. It's about honoring the Lord. How many of us at our wedding said, "You know what? As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord"? How many of us did that? I did that. Did you guys do that at your church? Yeah, many of us did, right? And so, do people know that your house is a house of prayer? That your house, your home, is one that will worship the Lord? Are you creating relationships with your neighbors? Are you creating relationships at work that they know what you will do for them? I will tell you this. Over the past year, give you a little bit of testimony about the past year, because I have some stuff for you guys to do in a minute. I have given so many more things over to the Lord, and I have seen God moving because I put smaller things in front of Him, and I've seen them open. How many of you, before you go to work, some of you work in a place that's not hard to testify of His love, right? But in a public setting, it's a little bit more difficult. But I can wake up in the morning, I can do my devotion, I can pray, Lord, open the doors for me to share my faith today. And I do that quite often. And whenever I do that, some little small tidbit happens where I can share my faith. This past week, I didn't pray that prayer every day. I should be, but I didn't. But when I did, I met another believer in the faith that I had no idea about, and he didn't know about me. But I knew there was something different about him because he's always positive and being positive with the students. And we made that connection this week. Other people this week, when I was praying that same prayer, they had their father go into the hospital, and I was able to say, you know what, I'm going to pray for your dad. You let me know what you guys need. You see, I'm just starting those conversations because God allows certain things, and I'm getting more comfortable sharing my faith. It's not always comfortable. It's difficult. It's a skill that I believe we all have to work on. Our houses have to be houses of prayer. People in our neighborhoods need to know that we will pray for them. We need to pay attention. When there's a fire truck down the street at 10 o'clock at night, have you ever followed up and went over there the next day, not being a nosy neighbor, but maybe even just writing a card and saying, I'm praying for you, putting your name on the card and the address where you live and letting them know who you are and what you do because you follow the Messiah? You never know. You may make a connection with your brother and sister in Christ that you never knew, but you knew the fire truck ended up there that night. John 20:21. I had pastors always tell me, only preach on one thing, and then maybe even only one verse. The great father of Mr. Rissa told me that. And I said, I can't do that. I got to go back and forth, right? But today, I'm on John 20:21. I'm just reviewing. Now I'm getting to the whole passage of John 20:21. And it says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. I revert back to peace. Because no matter what we're going through, if we trust in Him and we walk with Him, we know that there can be peace. And so today, it would be, God would hold me accountable if I'm not training you on how to share your faith, how to give your testimony to others. How many of you have ever went over your testimony within 5 minutes and narrowed it down so you can share it with others? Kim has. Your dad has. I've talked to him. He kind of got, I was already prepping for this, and he asked me my testimony the other day. Well, I asked my niece's boyfriend the other day, because I've been prepping for this. But we were just serving and getting that Mexico mission trip ready to go, and your dad asked me that same question, and I thought, hey, touche, right? And I was able to share my testimony. We have to prepare to be in the game. Would you agree? I, as your pastor, have to help you prep in that way. Now, here's a good question for you. How are you going to sell the faith? You know, there's really good salesmen. I used to work at Nordstrom, putting my way through my master's, right? Still had to take out loans. But I became a better salesman when I got to know the product a lot better. Here's our product. It's really good for everything in the scripture. You know, Silas, as you start to get married, you know what it teaches you? It teaches you how to be a good husband. It teaches you how to be a good father. It will show you, there is a reflection in this that will reflect and you'll go, I need to improve on that. There is, for the women, it shows how to be, Proverbs 31 teaches how to be that godly woman. And if you're reflecting within the scriptures, they tell us, how many of you have ever heard, I wish there was a book on how to raise kids. This is a good book on how to raise kids. It teaches us the ins and outs on how to raise them. If we're walking with them, our kids should be able to reflect that same mirror of what the scriptures are talking. Unfortunately, the kids, they pick up all of our bad habits, not the scriptural ones a lot of times, right? And so I had to improve as soon as Rebecca was born because she's going around kicking things. Well, I was just moving stuff, right? So, again, there's really good salespeople. There's really good evangelists out there. They can take a can of sardines and make it look really good. But whenever you're selling it, is it really what they need? And I can tell you this, if you get to know relationally what they need, you can go to the scriptures and show them where it is and what they need. Now, as you give your testimony, you're going to make things that are sweet look even better and it's easier. We're not selling it. We're just hoping God opens their eyes to it. But this wonderful lady that makes these cookies for me every year, 3 or 4 times a year, she makes things look really good, right? And so when I want to give my testimony, I need to practice it and I can make it look even better. Or else, am I selling a can of sardines? Am I attracting people with what I'm doing? I don't know. But this past week, she came to school. These look good. You like these? Cute, aren't they? She made it look even better. She bought packaging. Right? So cute. But what are we doing when we go out and we're stepping out in faith? Are we making it sardine-like? Or are we making it sweet? All right. We're going to pause in just a minute. We're not getting rid of it, but I'm going to share my testimony so you guys know what to do. But today, you will go to somebody else that you're not comfortable with, and you will share your testimony within 5 minutes. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to share my testimony with you. I'm going to put my timer on so you guys don't have to hear me ramble, because I've already been rambling quite a bit. But I'm going to make sure I don't go over 5 minutes. I'm going to put my stopwatch right here. There we go. When I was just 8 years old, actually, when I was 2 weeks old, I was taken into a Southern Baptist nursery. So needless to say, I was actually raised in the church in a farm community of Arvin. So with that being said, I didn't really have a choice. I felt like God was always going to be using me. So, however, I didn't want to get baptized alone. So around the age of 8, some of my cousins and other friends were going to get baptized. So I was like, I'm going to get baptized with them so I don't have to do this alone later on. So I was baptized at 8 years of age in a little town called Lamont outside of Arvin. And I was baptized with some of my cousins. Well, at the age of 12, my parents let us start making choices. And I chose not to go to church. We didn't have a choice for Sunday worship morning, but we could start to decide Sunday evenings. I chose to stay home that evening when I was about 12 years of age. Actually, I was 12. And my parents came home that night and they found me on the couch and I was just bawling my eyes out. And they're like, what's wrong, Trevor? Did something happen when we were gone? And I said, no, but yes. And they said, well, what is it? And I said, something within me needs to tell you that my decision at 8 years old was not genuine. But God is working on me, and He's calling me to Him now. Big old embraces, everything going on. My parents led me through the sinner's prayer at that point, once again, because I heard it quite a few times. And went to the pastor of the church and told him what I was going through, and he said, there's nothing wrong. We can baptize you again. I said, all right, I'll go 2 times in the, you know, and be baptized. Guess what happened, though? I was the only one being baptized, but I didn't care. God worked on me. Now, That's my salvation story. My surrendering story is a lot different. When I was about 18, 19, 20, I was kicked out of my parents' house because I wasn't living the way I should. I was still going to church on Sundays, but I wasn't acting the way I should. At 25 years of age, in between then, I had bought a house with my grandfather, who was a godly, godly man, the one I talk about all the time. He passed away suddenly one day, got a phone call. You need to go up to the hospital. I was 25 years old. I remember that. And went up there. He passed away. Well, he was a deacon in the church, and God started throwing different things at me. And I knew that the church needed another deacon to take his place. It was at that time that I surrendered my life to the Lord. He worked on me from that point on, never letting go. And each step of the way, even if it was just one step in front of the other because I didn't know where I was going, he has guided me ever since to the point where I am even today standing before you. He's always brought me peace. But during those 4 or 5 years when I wasn't walking with him yet, I still had salvation. I had turned from him. It was bumpy and it was not calm. And there was no peace. But I knew where to go. And I knew where to turn back to, you see, because whenever God works in your life, he is always there for you if you're walking the righteous path. And that's my story of salvation, because I want to work with other people. I want them to know the God that I know and the Jesus Christ that came to die for me and to die for you. And so I've learned from other people how to present that. And I even have learned to ask questions of other people. But I do that through relationship with others. And so that's something that we need to do today. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, from the youngest to the oldest, from the member here to the guest, and we do have guests here today, I want you to share. The member needs to share their story. The older person needs to share their story. But we need to match up. I'm going to ask Kara to go with Mia because Mia is really, right? We need to take care of our loved ones, but we need to make sure that it's uncomfortable to a certain point. So today, I want you to think about it for the next 2 minutes. If you're older like I am, I'm old. I was born in the other century, right? The 1900s, that's what my daughters have said. You're born in the 1900s? But you can't give your testimony. This is a safe place. If I may use some psychological termination in here, right? Terms. This is a safe place. It should always be a safe place because it's your house of worship unto the Lord. But the younger generation needs to hear your testimony. The guests need to hear your testimony. We need to prepare ourselves in such a way to give your testimony out and about. I got this from another pastor right here in Orange County. He said, you know what, Trevor? I took my congregation and I stopped everything and I started to train them how to give their testimony. It's important. If we don't train our kids how to give their testimony, they're going to continue and just sit there like bumps on a log sometimes and just listen. We have to be willing to give our testimony and step out in faith sometimes. And it's uncomfortable. I'll tell you that. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say it's very uncomfortable. But when God prompts you to do it, you either say yes to him or you lose the reward that he possibly has for you and possibly the relationship that he has for you. So let's take time now to share our testimony with somebody that maybe you're not comfortable with, you don't normally go to church or lunch with, and I'll stop you and just get ready to share that. It's not a big deal in here. We should be able to do that. So find somebody now. All right. We're good to go? Okay. As they finish up, I'm going to talk a little bit more. So I'm good with you guys continuing to talk. Young ones, did you learn something new about somebody you didn't know? A little bit? Did you learn something about Kim, Rebecca? Yeah? It's good to sit down with other people we're not familiar with and learn their faith and learn their journey through life. Because yours is going to be individual too. Did you guys learn something? Who did you guys get matched with? Oh, the two of you? You guys shared with the... Okay, all right. And then Josh, you got paired up with Jeff, right? How'd that go? Not comfortable, okay. All right, not comfortable. It was very comfortable, okay. All right, that's true. All right. Well, the thing is, Paul charged Timothy with these words. I charge you with similar words such as this. In the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Use God's work in you to glorify his kingdom. We all have to be ready, no matter when it is, to share our faith with other people. Build those relationships. Make your house a home that is known for prayer. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you guys not see that in today's society? It's everywhere. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. My goodness, if the myths and the different things out there that are going crazy aren't seen with the eyes, I can point them out to you. Come talk to me after service. But be sober in all things. Endure the hardships. Do the work of the Lord. Fulfill your ministry. Your ministry is not the same as mine. I don't live in your house. Your new ministry that you're entering into in the week ahead. Lean on those who have gone before you. Trust me when they say your new bride doesn't want your opinion on what color flowers in the wedding. I thought they did. Others that had gone before me said, no, don't. No. I gave my opinion, and she told me that's not what I said. I said, whatever you think looks good, right? Yeah, and I said, I love it, babe. You're right. So be ready in season and out of season. Lean on those who have gone before you. Paul says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We lay up our treasures in heaven. We need to be building those treasures by sharing our faith with others. It is by that faith that others come to know the peace that he has given to all of us. And so today, I encourage you to live out your faith and build that skill of sharing that faith with others, because they deserve the peace that they may not know yet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.